Well, hello everyone, wherever you're watching, around the world, throughout the week. You're missing some smiling faces if you're not in the house today. We had fun. Listen, we ate healthy this morning. We had some fruit salad, some yogurt, some granola. You're missing out. We're trying to get you right before the holiday 45-pound comes on. You know, the holiday 45. Nobody else has that? No. Okay. Well, we're thankful for you wherever you're watching. We're excited to be here today. We're excited to be going into Thanksgiving, going into the Christmas season, excited about the series that is upcoming called The Name, where we're walking through the names of Jesus. If that didn't get you fired up a little bit earlier, I don't know what will. Check your pulse, get there. But today, we're wrapping up our series called What Does the Bible Talk About? Now, wherever you are on the spectrum of following Jesus, whether weeks, 10 days, less than 2 weeks, 20 years, 2 years, kicking the tires of who he is, maybe he's a baby in a manger, a picture on grandma's wall. Wherever you are, this series is for all of us, because every year we take a space and a place and pause and dive into the questions we have about the Bible, about God, about Christianity, about Jesus, about the church. And so we try to answer as many questions as we can every fall. So we may not have answered your question this year. Go back and look at our series. We call it What Does the Bible Say About? We also have a series called You Ask For It. Kind of change the name of it, where we just answer your questions. So go back. Maybe we didn't answer your question this year, but we did previously, or we'll look forward to answering it in the future. And where we're going to be today, wrapping up, it's the perfect time of year. Perfect time of year because it's Thanksgiving. Nobody experiences this word at Thanksgiving, okay? So today what we're talking about is, what does the Bible say about judgment? No one experiences judgment at Thanksgiving, right? Like, nothing gets judged. The doesn't get judged. Nobody's trying to take the perfect pictures. Let's be real. How many of us just go online and steal the picture of the perfect, like, Martha Stewart laid out table and then just repost it like that's what we had, when really we warmed up what we were having for Thanksgiving in the microwave, wherever we are? Like, that's what we're going to talk about, judgment. See, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount over these past few weeks, and it's the most taught about, preached about teachings of Jesus yet us to follow. And if you're a new Christian, obviously, you know I'm about the Gospel of John. Go dive into, you can learn about who Jesus is a lot throughout the entire Bible, but the Gospel of John will help you with that. But if you really want to know what your life should look like if you're following with Jesus, Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, is what it's all about. Because Jesus takes our natural shape, the way that we naturally react, the way that we naturally respond, and he reshapes it into his way, the new way, and what we should look like and reflect if we are a true Christ follower. He holds nothing back in Matthew 7. So I'm going to a little bit, it hit me as I was getting ready, but know that Jesus is doing this something greater and something that we can be excited about come Thanksgiving. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in Matthew 7. So if you want to go ahead and flip to Matthew 7, that's where we'll be. If you don't have a Bible, we have some over in the garden that are free for you. We'd love to get you one free for the asking. Say it every week because I mean it. Our Vine production team will make sure it's on the screen wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week or on your screen. But maybe you like to do things with technology. You like to do things on your phone like so many of us do. Download our Vine Church app today. Go to vine.tv/app. It'll ask for your phone number. It'll send you a download link. I promise you, we don't spam you. We don't do all those kind of things. We just want to get some tools in your hand, because inside that app, you can take your own personal notes. There's a Bible in there. There's information about our church. You can look back and worship with us in past worship experiences. You can just hang out with us and have a good time. So if you will download that today, you'll be follow up with us there. So all of that being said, we're going to dive in. We've already had great worship. We've already got excited about the series that's going to come. Let's lean into the Lord, see what the Holy Spirit has for us as we wrap up What Does the Bible Say About Today. If you're with me, give me an amen. Amen. Yes, they're here. Yes, Lord. All right. Matthew 7, verse 1. Jesus holds back no punches when it comes to judgment. He just, I mean, it's almost like Muhammad Ali, you know, he just comes in with a kill shot from the beginning, right? Matthew 7, 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. We could just end it right there. I need to get on my knees right now. Like, really, like, just that one verse right there is enough. Like, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He says that his people are not people who are judgmental. Why? Why are we as Christians not judgmental? Why are we not going around judging others? Because we follow the one who took God's judgment for our sin for us on the cross. Like, if there's anybody who understands what it means to not be judged, it's a Christian. Because we've surrendered the lordship of our life to Christ, and in surrendering lordship of our life to Christ, we know that he has accepted the judgment for us. So who are we to go around judging? Now, when I get to verse 6 in a minute, you're going to say, but you just said something. We're going to talk about the difference in this. So verse 1, Jesus says, his people do not walk around judging. But in the world we live in, isn't there just something that feels good to judge? Let's be real. Like, can you believe they wore that to Thanksgiving? They dressed as a turkey. Like, we love judging people. Just to be one step better than everybody else. That's what we want. We think if we can just be just a little, like, not even a, like a half step, like a car bumper length ahead of people. Like, if we could just be that far ahead, we're good. Jesus leans into that brokenness in us and says, my people don't do that. Instead of walking in judgment, we start with a disposition of grace. It's grace from the beginning. Grace from the, we've got to have grace. Grace from the beginning. He says, he's teaching us, we don't spend our whole lives trying to tear others down. That's not our job. Now, before I get to the ending, you know where I'm going to say this. Billy Graham always had his invitations this way, and I love it. I love it. It's something that's always stuck to me as I've grown up and I've matured in the Lord. And he said this when it comes to judgment. I'm going to even answer that in a little bit when we get there from his what he says. It's God's job to judge, the Holy Spirit's job to convict, but it's my job as a Christian, my job as the church to love. Nothing else. We don't judge. We don't convict. I can't save you. I'm the one who can save you, but I can't do it. I can't make you receive the free gift of salvation. But I can love you right where you are. And what I love about our church, what I love about the Vine, what I love about this, and I love about the local church around the world is church is the space and place where everyone is welcome, everyone belongs, and everyone has a place, no matter what season they're in, no matter where they are on the spectrum of following Jesus, you are welcome here. And that's what the church is supposed to be. Yet in our world, we say, well, if you don't, we won't open the door for you. Jesus presses back against that and says his people are different. Paul writes it this way in Romans 2, verse 4, when he's going that, he talks about God's kindness is what leads to repentance. Our kindness shining through us. If you read like verse 1 through 3, it talks about God's judgment upon Christ. Verse 4 tells us it's our kindness, his kindness through us, his goodness displayed through us, his grace displayed through us that leads to repentance, not our judgment. So as we go along doing, I want us to dive into that because here's the thing I'm going to tell you. In the culture that we live in today, it used to be verse 12. We're going to get there in a minute, but verse 12 you're going to know as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That used to be what was thrown into the face of Christians constantly. But now it's this. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And so how do we respond to it? And Jesus is going to teach us this as what we're walking through today because in our culture's worldview, all paths lead to heaven. But as Christians, we know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. And the disposition of grace that we have, disposition of judgment that we have, will point more clearly to Jesus than anything else. So let's see what he says in verse 2 through 5. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with, like, let's be real, you know that. When you judge somebody, you're getting it back at you harder. Let's be real, that's just the world we live in, right? I told you we're going to rename Twitter Outrage. Just try it. See what happens when you judge someone and see how it comes back at you. For in the same way you would judge others, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all this time there's a plank in your eye? Think that eyelash. You got a plank rolling around in your eye like, my goodness, my goodness. You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus holds nothing back. He's telling us as believers, what we have to do all the time is this. Instead of knowing how everyone else is wrong, we got to start with us. And that's what salvation happens. I can't save you. I can't repent for you. I can't confess Jesus as Lord for you. I can do that for me first. And when I do that for me, I can clearly point you to him. But if I go around talking about how bad your little speck is while I've got this, like imagine that, like a plank. Everything you're going to hit, like running into doors. How do you shut your car? You can't see out your windshield. In your eye. Jesus says our disposition is we've got to follow him clearly and be who we were created to be first instead of telling everybody else how they aren't growing in the Lord. And that's a challenge. Like sometimes, let's just be real. Our prayers sometimes are, like we've talked about this before. I mean, Lord, have you seen what they drive, Lord? Like, come on. They got that brand new Tesla Rolls Royce edition. They even got it imported. Your boy's riding around a red flyer wagon. Like, let's go, Jesus. Like, do you not love me, Lord? Like, we start judging them, right? We start judging people. It's just our natural disposition to do it. Sin distorts us. It makes us do that. But Jesus says, hey, start yourself. It can't really help anyone if you aren't first following me as close as you should. You aren't in my will. You aren't following me step by step. You can't help anyone else. He goes on to say in that verse 5, hypocrite. And we talked about this a couple of weeks when we talked about how we've closed the doors to the rich on heaven and how that isn't what Jesus called us to do. Today he says, you hypocrite. Remember, the Greek word for hypocrite is someone who plays a part, someone who is in a play. They wear a mask. But we go deeper into that. Someone who's a hypocrite is someone who is self-deceived. In other words, our natural disposition is to be blind to our flaws, but see everyone else's. I'm so glad we don't live in a culture that says you should follow the rules, you don't have to. I'm so glad that was just Old Testament, New Testament. I'm so glad it was 2,000 years ago. Like, man, it's so great that doesn't happen in today's world. Oh, wait, it still does, right? So much so, if you were to ask someone why they won't come to church, number one response is because they felt judged. Now, to me, that can be an excuse. It's not up to me to make the excuse. I can't decide. I can't change someone's response, but I can change mine in the posture of my heart to say, what am I doing to eliminate that? And if I'm walking in judgment, I mean, I'm just setting them and myself up for failure. So Jesus says, don't be self-deceived. How do we do that? By what we believe at the Vine. Life change happens best in Christian community. Only in community are we not deceived. Only in community is iron sharpening iron. Only in community are we building each other up. Only in community can that happen, because in community we have unity in the faith and walking like as Jesus prayed in John 17, showing him clearly to the world. Community. I'm going to butcher who quoted this, so I'm sorry, but I'm going to be real with you. The quote is this: when you become a Christian, there's one phrase that must be eliminated from your vocabulary, and it's this: I don't need you, and you don't need me. If you're truly following Christ, you can't walk around to the world to say, I don't need you, and you don't need me. We can't do that. Because in Christ, we are walking in unity. In the body of Christ, we know that I need you, and you need me. We have to carry each other's burdens. We fit together perfectly in the body of Christ with our unique gifts, our unique abilities, so much so that those who aren't in Christ yet, who haven't discovered their gifts and abilities because they've yet Christ as their Savior, still have a place in this house, still have a place in a space. And we're going to walk with them in that season until they get there and continue when they get there. So as the church, we have to walk in community, because we know that we need each other. We have to have each other, or this doesn't work. In the world we live in, one thing that I think that, and this is type A, try to do everything on my own, so this is where the conviction is. I told you I could stop at verse 1, is this. In this lockdown, in this coming out, in this isolation phase, I believe we've learned more about individualism than the collective unity of the faith more than ever before. Because I will tell you, there's something about gathering that just experiences the presence of God so greater than having to do it by myself at home. Community matters. It matters. We have to be in community. And here's the thing that community will do. It will help you to stop judging. Now, when I have verse 6 in a minute, don't throw your Bible at me, because we're going to see how this plays out in a second. Community will help us stop judging, because here's what community does. It builds up. It doesn't tear down. And Jesus says in his church, you can't be judging someone and be building them up. You just can't. Those two things can't exist at the same time. Either you're judging and tearing down, or you're encouraging, you're building up, you're pointing to him, you're walking in unity of the faith. So Jesus goes through 1 through 5, and he talks about judging at a distance, and he throws this curveball, like what I love about Jesus, this crazy curveball in here in verse 6. And this is where you'll throw your Bible at me. Verse 6 says this: Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So verse 1 through 5, it's like, don't judge. And then verse 6, we have the interpretation. Did he just tell me to judge somebody? Am I supposed to look between pigs and dogs? It's not judgment he's talking about here. It's discernment. Discernment. So what does this mean? Like, this is something that seems outlandish. Like, all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, here's how you clearly follow me. And then, oink, oink, bark, bark. Know the difference. Like, okay, like, I know old McDonald had a farm. Like, I can do that, right? Like, I got the noises right. I know what those are. No. He's saying, lean into me so you can have discernment to know the difference. What does this mean? The wolves in sheep's clothing is what this is pointing to when he says dogs. Don't give dogs what are sacred. The wolves in sheep's clothing. We have a responsibility as the church. I have a responsibility to know when there are wolves in sheep's clothing. To know when there are wolves among the flock that are trying to lead the flock astray versus trying to lead the flock closer and following the voice of Jesus. That's discernment. That's not judgment. So there are times in the church, you can look all throughout the New Testament, Paul writes about it. Hey, how do we go through confrontation? How do we go through unrepentant sin? How do we walk with that? Well, he says, first you go one-on-one. If the brother or sister isn't reconciled from there, you take two or three with you and you do it again. And then if they continue, what does he tell them that they do? Take them out of the church. They can't be a part of the body for a while until they come to confession and repentance. That seems like judgment, right? But it's not. It's discernment. And right now, if you're trying to figure out, this is the best thing that I've ever been taught. If you're trying to figure out whether someone is a wolf in sheep's clothing or a sheep, here's how you know the difference. Look at what they eat. A wolf will devour the sheep. A wolf will judge the sheep. A wolf will put the sheep down. He's just looking for another. But a sheep will lie down in green pasture because they understand the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd's voice is comforting, and they know that he is the only hope. So if we walk around judging others, we look like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we see what Jesus does with that. Now the pigs, the swine, they are not seen as something that is a holy animal in Jewish culture. The Jewish folks here would have understood this. The Jewish people, the nation of Israel, would have understood what he's trying to say. But here's what Jesus is saying. Watch out for the wolves in sheep's clothing, but also don't follow the pigs who will trample on pearls. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this. Don't follow after the idols of the world. Don't let the world invade the church so much pearls, the valuable thing we have in Christ, is diminished, watered down, or not true. Like, we cannot let that come in. And so as your pastor, I do my best, but it's not just me. We have our pastoral advisory team. All of us in the church have a responsibility to be able to have discernment between the dogs and the pigs. So that is why we have to not be judging others, because if we do, we look like the dog or the pig. Oink, oink. Like a dog or a pig. And so today, if you're asking Jesus whether you're doing that, look to whether you're leaning into what he's calling you to be or kicking and screaming against what he's calling you to be. What next step he's telling you to take? Are you doing that? Because that will help discern between the dogs and the pigs. It's crazy stuff. Hang in here with me. So now all of a sudden, you got 1 through 5. Verse 6 is up close and personal. Like, you know this person. Then he goes straight into verse 7 and 8 and says, what the prosperity gospel so much tries to tell the wrong thing in, and it's this. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. How many of us open when the doorbell rings now? We hide, don't we? Isn't that crazy? Like we hide, we look, oh, is my doorbell camera working? What's going on? Like, we'll be literally in the living room or in, like, right there at the door, and we'll do the doorbell cam. Hey, I'm not home. Could you leave? Like, you know, like, we just do not like folks knocking on our door. But Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock for a reason. If you're struggling discerning between the pigs and the dogs and whether you're living a judgmental life, you've got to ask, seek, and knock. You've got to lean into Him. Ask Him in prayer. Seek His will for your life and keep knocking, walking the way that He's calling you, knocking on the doors He's calling you to walk, to knock on. That is what He's calling us to do. It's not a prosperity gospel thing there where we say that, hey, you're not prosperous because you're not doing this. You're not prosperous because you're not doing that. We can have God's blessing on us, but this is taught wrong so many times. Jesus is really teaching about prayer here. Matthew 6, He has the Lord's Prayer. He's pointing to that. He's saying, ask, seek, and knock. Seek me in prayer. Go into the treasury room. Go into the throne room. Like, ask, seek, knock. Have the discipline of prayer enough to know when you have discernment if you're living a judgmental life or are you living like the sheep, or living like the sheep or the wolf in sheep's clothing or the pig. What are you doing? Ask, seek, and knock. See, this is why the prosperity gospel gets it wrong. Let me ask you this, parents who have kids. Could you imagine if your toddler or preschooler, if God was a genie in a bottle and they got three wishes every time they prayed, what the world would look like? Unicorns, cookies, and chocolate milk. Let's be real. It would be flooded. Like, there would be craziness. Maybe the toddlers don't work. Your teenager, if they got the three wishes that they asked for God, if God was a genie in a bottle, this is why the prosperity gospel teaches it wrong. If God was a, could you imagine those three things? Three things that they would wish for. And how about this? If I got the three things I wanted, you know what would happen? Chaos. Like, that's it. Chaos. It would be chaos. But Jesus says, hey, you have to have a discipline of prayer. Keep asking, seeking, knocking so you can have discernment. So you're not, you are showing the world that you are my people with a disposition of grace, one that is judgment. So when we get together with our families this week, ooh, here's where it hits hard. Are we judgmental? Are we having a disposition of grace? Can you believe she wore that? I'm going to tell you something. Be thankful they're there. Be thankful for that opportunity. Be thankful for it. Be thankful that there's family there with you. Trust me. Be thankful for it. Because here's the thing. Here's the real, real thing. I'll share with you the real, real. That I'll be sharing later at my grandma's funeral. But the real, real. We never, never, never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. And God's given you a moment with them. Will you waste it and judge them, or will you have a disposition of grace? See the value of the moment. See, that's what Jesus has given us. That's what the open arms of the church, we get to do. So Jesus goes on, after He gives this and how we have to walk through this judgment, He says this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if your son asks for a fish, will Hey-o, nope. If you then, though you are evil, he just lays it out there, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. There's that golden rule. Why? For it sums up the law and the prophets. So even Jesus says verse 12 is where we need to be, but our culture shifted to verse 1 because we're so individualistic right now instead of walking in unity. He says, this is how we give out. Now notice what He says. If you being evil can give good gifts, imagine you giving grace in your power versus you giving grace in Christ's power. This is about operating and living in His goodness and His faithfulness and His strength, not ours. Why do we share that? Because if we're walking in judgment, we're walking in our strength. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely exhausting, isn't it? Just trying to be one better than everybody else? I mean, that's crazy. You almost want everything to crash just so that you're not as beat up as everybody else. It's exhausting. Which is why if you want to know what really Jesus is saying, what does the Bible say about God? What does the Bible say about, like, judgment is this. It belongs to God alone. Period. I told you, it belongs to God alone. It doesn't belong to us. And there's freedom in that. Because then all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about what they wear. Hey, that's great. You just, hey, go put some clothes on, because that's not enough. Like, that's not judgment, that's discernment. Like, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about what the neighbors do. You don't have to worry about all that. You're not bogged down. We talked about worry last week. You're not bogged down with all that. If you don't like the food, you can, you know, feed the dog under the, I don't know what you do, but like, you could just swallow it down. Like, if you're like Christmas Vacation, and they open up the turkey, and they cook it too long, somebody can save the neck for you. Like Cousin Eddie said, you don't have to judge them. It's freedom in that. And this is why there's freedom in it. Because if we walk around judging, then we're going to be judged. And the difference is, everyone's view of right without Christ, chaos. Justice without Christ, chaos. We're living in chaos. But if we lean into the truth, we know that it belongs only to Him. There's freedom in it. Because then you don't have to walk around being judged. And if they judge you, they got to take it up with God. You ain't got to worry about it. That's freedom. There's so much freedom in that. There's in that. And so that's why we have to walk without having judgment, but still have discernment. Because as I said earlier, the judgment we deserve for our sin is death. The wrath for the sin that we can't rid ourselves of is death. Yet Jesus hung naked on a blood-stained cross, lived that perfect life we couldn't live, convicted of a crime He didn't commit, and received God's full judgment for our sin on the cross. And then He rose again and left an empty tomb so we could walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, raised Him from the grave. And so that's why Jesus ends all of this when it comes to judgment by saying this at verse 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In other words, Jesus is laying it out here. If you're walking around judging everybody, you're walking the broad road to destruction. Judging someone is easy. But Christ didn't judge us. He gave us grace. And He says His people still have discernment, but they walk in His grace. And that's the narrow gate. So now that we know that, the question is, are we in the wide gate or the narrow gate? Because to get to the narrow gate, we've got to ask, seek, and knock. We've got to lean into Him. Where are you calling me, Lord? What are you asking me to do? Like, what is it that you would have me do with this day? Like, what is that? That's ask, seek, knock, discipline of prayer. And in that, we'll know whether we're sheep, in sheep's clothing, or a pig. What a Thanksgiving. Are you a pig today? Stop eating. No, I'm just kidding. You know, like, what is this? He says, you'll know by how you live your life by not judging others. So, I told you, you can't judge somebody and build them up. So we're about to go into Thanksgiving, all culminating to this. Because you know, I'm hard-headed, and Jesus has to teach me in simple ways, okay? So this is what we have today, okay? Real life example. Challenge I have for us today. So, over in the garden, there are bundles... I made them. That's why they look simple. Bundles of 34, roughly, popsicle sticks, because I make mistakes in life, but I only need you to use 31 of them, and a permanent marker. Okay? So, here's the challenge. There are more than 31 days left in this year. Every day, write one thing you're thankful for, a different thing on a popsicle stick. You with me? Parents, if you have children, here's the challenge. Get them to do it with you. One thing you're thankful for. If you've got babies, it's, you know, food, diapers, and baby wipes. Be for that. There we have. But do this with your children. And somewhere over these next 31 different days, have 31 different things at least on a popsicle stick. On January 1st, every day, pick up a different popsicle stick and start your prayer with the thing you're thankful for. Parents, do that with your children. Do it on their way to school. Do it on their way back from school. One thing, just one thing you're thankful for. And maybe you do those same 31 things all the way out throughout the entire year. Maybe you do two things a day. I don't know. But I'm telling you, as a church and as a people, I'm excited to see what God does with this. Because if we're thankful for something, it's really hard to judge it, isn't it? I'm thankful for heat in my house, but it ain't hot enough. And then all of a sudden it catches on fire. Is that hot enough for you? Like, right? Thanking God in prayer for what he's called me to be, where he's called me to be, and this life, this opportunity, this moment that he gives me to reflect his glory, it's really, really hard to judge those around me. So families, grab one for your house on the way out. Thanksgiving, what an awesome time to do this. And maybe it's not popsicle sticks for you. I'm simple, popsicle sticks work. Put them in a jar, pull a different one out every day. But I'm telling you, as we do that as a church family, we'll grow deeper roots. And as you do that as a family in your home, you'll grow deeper roots with your children. You'll grow deeper roots. You'll show them the way to walk in the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's going to overflow into this house when folks are in a crazy season and think that God has forgotten them and God just wants to judge them. We get to show them how thankful we are for them because of how we show the grace of Jesus Christ through us in that moment. So there's at least one, there's probably like 15 or 20 stacks over there. Take one for your family. If you missed one, another, I can bring them next week. But I tried to get those together for us because I believe, hey, you know, a lot of folks do that. They go around the table and say what they're thankful for. I'm not an on-the-spot person when it comes to that, and I'm a jokester, so you don't want to ask me that, the spur of the moment, because it could be something crazy. Like toilet paper, very thankful. Like wherever you are with that. But if we do this, and we do this with our children, the heart of a child is so awesome, because it's real. That's what the child life faith looks like. If you do that with your child, and you show them what they're thankful for, imagine how crazy awesome that's going to be, and their perspective on the world. It's not going to be the wide gate. They're going to see Jesus through the narrow gate. The narrow gate. Because the reason this matters, and I will tell you, you never know the impact you have on your family until probably when you're gone. And they leave you a note, just like I got to read a note from my grandma that knew this was here before it even happened. 30 years ago, almost. It's crazy, crazy what God does. And if you do this now, and they bring it to their grandkids, and they bring it to their kids, I mean, seriously, come on. And if they tell you chocolate, celebrate it. Come on, we're thankful for chocolate. Lord, do it. Just watch what the Lord does with it. Watch how he uses it. So today, are we living in judgment? Or are we living set free from judgment that Christ took for us, set free from the judgment of God? Are we walking in a disposition of grace? Are we walking in thankfulness? Or are we walking in bitterness? Because here's the thing. Now that you know who Jesus is, see, Jesus could have judged us, but he didn't, did he? He didn't judge us. He made a way. He stepped down, and he was thankful to be here. Just imagine that. He was thankful to be here. He was thankful to bring the presence of God to us. He was thankful for us to be in a relationship, the thing that we're searching for. He was thankful to even do that. Even on the cross, he's praying for our forgiveness. So that is what we show to the world. And so maybe right now you don't know who Jesus is and you're kicking the tires of it. I just want to ask you, Jesus clearly says in verse 13 and 14, either you are on the wide gate that leads to destruction or you are walking through the narrow gate that is Christ that leads to life. There is no other way to life. There is no other thing that's going to set you free from the sin that enslaves you. And I'm telling you, you are searching for that. You're searching for it in a career. You're searching for it in a house. You're searching for it in a car, in a relationship. You are searching for something to save you. And today Jesus has brought you. And I'm trying to tell you, none of that can, but he can. He can. He is the name above all. He can. Why? Because he lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. Died the death, paying that penalty for our sin, receiving God's full wrath, judgment, and punishment for our sin, which is death. What we could not do for ourselves on the cross. Then he rose again on the third day so that we could have life and have it. We get to have life and have it to the full, but we get to share his grace with others. We don't have to withhold it. So now that you know who Jesus is, what will you do with it? Will you keep going down the wide gate, keep judging everything, judging everybody, and hoping that the way you judge others won't come back to you? Jesus clearly says, it will come back to you. Or you just leave this life of judgment and walk in his grace, building each other up, walking in discernment, asking, seeking, knocking, living in thankfulness. Because Jesus says it this way in John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Only in Christ are you set free from judgment, because you can be exactly who he created you to be. And so today, why we do what we do is so that hearts would be awakened to Christ for the first time, and that others would be reminded of Christ and walk fully into be who he created them to be, step by step. So right now, we're going to pray for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is that he came, only he can save, that he's the one that lived the perfect sinless life. He's the one that died the death we deserve. He's the one who rose again on the third day. We are praying this prayer, surrendering lordship of our lives to Christ, saying no longer is I who is in control, because if I'm in control, I'm headed to destruction on the broad road. But Jesus, you are in control, and you are leading me through the gate himself, through the path that leads to life. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to pray this prayer out loud. It's not the words that save you, but the faith. So please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live. By the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross. But love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time you have given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you, if you're watching online, in the house, or you're listening throughout the week, you may see a hand that's raised. If you're listening and you have our Vine Church app, you can respond there. Wherever you are right now, we would love to celebrate this decision with you, surrendering lordship of your life to Christ, setting yourself free from judgment, the real judgment-free zone, the real judgment-free zone. We would love to celebrate that. Maybe you want to reach out to us by text. You can do that at 864-580-6698. Shoot us a message in the app. Shoot us a message on Facebook, Twitter, wherever, on our Facebook, our website, or shoot us an email at prayer@thevine.tv. And for the rest of us, you can look up. We're about to celebrate who Jesus is. We're about to be just celebrating that. And so as we go into Thanksgiving and we go into celebrating who Jesus is, may all the judgment that we had for others and even ourselves be thrown away, and we lean into his presence, and we live out being exactly who he created us to be. Would you stand and worship? Thank you. All right, I have had popsicle sticks thrown at me, and I don't know why. Maybe you're thankful for me. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm just kidding. It is funny. It's so awesome to be in the house of the Lord and celebrate His victory for us. Isn't it great that we don't have to be judgmental and walk in our own victory? Because then certainly it would be a loss. But instead with Him, we can walk in constant victory and be without judgment. So as you go with your family this week, don't judge the green bean casserole. Don't judge the dressing or the macaroni. Just be thankful that you get to eat it, because I'm telling you, I'll be thankful when I get to one day. So that being said, we hope you have an awesome week. We can't wait to see your face next week. I know Ruby's got such an awesome breakfast plan. We're waiting on you. Get here in the house of the Lord. We got a chair for you. It's going to be great. We're going to be starting the name, and we're going to be looking like Christmas. Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.